Shalom, precious saints of God. I'm Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries. Welcome to the news portion of our program, where having a Middle East map is highly recommended for this show. Anyway, let's talk about Syria. Syria is being overshadowed by the chaos in Egypt right now. But hostilities drag on and resources grow scarce. Infighting has increased. This is between the opposition groups, who each group expects to take over after they assume they will defeat the militias loyal to Assad. So you have more than one group fighting in there now. Not pretty. Right now, unfortunately, though, it's the civilians who are suffering the most. They're trapped in the middle and can't leave since the neighboring countries, well, they've closed the borders to any more refugees. Good old Israel, though, they're stepping up to the plate and helping the injured in Syria with medical aid, and then they sneak them back into Syria so they weren't missed. But today is the beginning of the Muslim Ramadan monthly holiday. The word actually means scorching, and it's a form of suffering. So the Quran says that all able-bodied Muslims must fast, and that's food and water, from sunup to sundown. No fighting is allowed, but of course exceptions are made when necessary against the enemy. And believe me, they fight against the enemy a lot during Ramadan. President Assad of Syria was asked to do a ceasefire for the Ramadan month and said, no way, as he feels he is very close to regaining full power. And Iran and Moscow are still speeding it up even and sending extra military and arms to aid Assad in his assumed victory. Now, as you might expect, Israel is watching Egypt very closely due to the fierce battles between Egypt's military and armed Islamists in the Sinai, which is, of course, you know, on the border of Israel. And it's also not far from the Israeli-owned Red Sea Resort in the port town of Eilat. Roads are now closed in that area. Now, this is not just the Muslim Brotherhood against the Egyptian military right now. But similar to Syria, it is a combination effort of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Palestinian Hamas from the Gaza Strip. And then there is the Sinai Bedouin Salafists, which are linked to Al-Qaeda, who have been found playing kind of both sides because they want to be the ones to take over too. So they're conspiring right now to sabotage the Suez, where even a small attack would send oil prices soaring worldwide. That would affect us as well. And they also blew up the Egyptian gas pipeline to Jordan in northern Sinai, where the flow was quickly brought to a halt. As well, the Egyptian military has been warned that these raiders have been directed by their Muslim Brotherhood masters. After all, they're not very happy that they did a coup and have their President Morsi in solitude there in Egypt. House arrest, I guess they're calling it. But they're planning to attack another pipeline called the Sumed, which starts on the Gulf of Suez and ends on the Mediterranean coast, and that's south of Alexandria, should you be looking at a map. But this attack would also lash out at its Saudi and United Arab Emirates, which co-own this pipeline. But the Brotherhood accuses Saudi Arabia of abetting the military coup, thus ousting them from power. So they're, again, trying to get even. And this armed Islamist coalition also plans a major campaign of terror against Israel. But then who isn't? Always keep in mind that the Bible says we will have a one-world government called globalism. There are powerful groups of rich men who want to rule over the world and will use by manipulation puppet groups to manipulate, cause chaos, confusion, destabilization, and just major civil unrest, and whatever else they need to do. Never let a crisis go to waste. Have you ever heard that before? Well, it's the globalist slogan. And they have been using the radical Muslims with their caliphate agenda for a while now. And they will do so until they stop doing the globalist bidding, which now seems to maybe have been the case with Morsi. So the next president, and they're looking at El-Baradei, or at least he'll be vice president, very powerful man. You can be sure, though, that he will be approved by the rich men of the earth, who promises to push the globalist agenda. That's just the way it is. It's all behind the scenes. It's interesting that Revelation 6 refers to the rich men of the earth. And in Revelation 6 is when they begin to understand their peril. So right now, all that really is missing is this charismatic guy to come out of the closet with his pretty words and deceptive, peaceful ideas to end all the chaos, make a deal with Israel, and allow them to build their temple. Actually, he will insist on them building a temple because he wants to sit in it someday as God. But we don't need to fret or try to figure out all the moves. Just watch it happen, all in God's timing. And smile when you see tiny Israel that keeps advancing in technology, advanced pharmaceutical research that are actually curing devastating diseases, and they're exporting much produce, and now gas. Plenty of it, and about to get more. So their economy is growing as well. It's absolutely amazing if you sit back and look. But evil doesn't see it. Psalm 58 says they are wicked from the womb. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. So stay tuned. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom, Mishpocha. And that means family, our family of listeners. And thanks for tuning in to the live Shofar Ministries Hour, 1220 AM Christian Radio, and on the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with our teacher and minister of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. The phone lines are open for your end-time questions or comments. The number is 888-677-WORD, and I'd like to say and welcome a couple of new listeners we have out there, and their name is Mary and Jeff. So Mary and Jeff, welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Let's get started with prayer. We feel that prayer is very necessary in this ministry. Abba, Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray protection from any evil entities that are trying to coerce and destroy your bride. We do not have a spirit of fear, but your word says we have a spirit of a sound mind, and we should be ready to conquer any arrows that might come our way. So we pray for perfect peace on those whose eyes are stayed on you. For you alone are to be worshipped, and you alone are to be praised. And we do. We honor you and the power of your name. May you personally bless all the precious saints who are listening tonight and are anxiously awaiting your return. Thank you especially for the many obvious signs that just keep coming our way. For you don't want us to be ignorant, Lord, but rather you're expecting us to want to be hearing that trumpet sound. And we lift up to you the prayer request that we've recently come in as we continue to plead for the souls of our loved ones. And we just ask you tonight, just tug at our loved ones' hearts, our unsaved family members, tug at their hearts. And we know that you can do that. Your spirit is very powerful. And we pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. And we hope you had a nice holiday, everybody out there. I did enjoy some fireworks, and I thanked God for finding America, the land of the free. Unfortunately, it was also a sad time, because to see it decay in so many areas right before our eyes. But then, it didn't last long. I regained my joyfulness because he's coming to fix all that. And you know what? You can be a part of that millennial kingdom. Just ask Jesus into your heart. And then grow in Jesus by reading his glorious word of truth.
And we totally believe in the inerrancy of God's word, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do. And in fact, God even implores anyone to prove him wrong in any of his prophecies. In Isaiah, especially chapters 43 through I would think all the way through 48, John.
Yeah, and God's saying only He can proclaim the beginning and the end.
That's right, and He actually taunts the astrologers and fortune tellers to dare to stand up against anything that God has prophesied. I love those portions.
I do, too. And aren't these the chapters where He chastises those who make images and pray to them?
Yes, and you know what? We really should touch on that because when you read those chapters, you can tell He's really not happy over what and who they worship. And that was the bottom line. Who do you bow down to? And He's talking about the Gentile nations in the Gentiles in chapter 45, verse 20. It says, they pray to a God that can't even save them. You see, it's not about how much you sin, where you go to church, what religion you are. And it's definitely not about how good of a person you are. Your good works is as filthy rags, says Isaiah 64. But it's who do you bow down to? That's it. Who do you bow down to?
Well, I saw that the Pope declared the last Pope Benedict a saint. So now those that want to, they say, can bow down to his statue legally.
Yes, under church doctrine now they can bow down and pray to him. But I'll tell you what, I've got some pictures that they've already been doing that for quite some time.
Yeah.
Oh, people, don't be deceived. If you know a Catholic, can you please just explain to them that they're not to bow down? It's a form of worship, whether they think they're doing it or not. It's what God sees.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you add prayer, it means you're making your request known to a different God. And we say all that because that is what Satan's demons and fallen angels want to achieve. And they will even masquerade as an angel of light. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 11 and Galatians 1:8. You see, they appear as apparitions sometimes or a dead loved one, and often a known voice or speak through a medium, and even as UFO alien beings from another planet, they say. And, of course, that has been our topic last week and this week.
And maybe next week.
Maybe, maybe not. We'll see.
We don't draw too much fire.
Well, it hasn't been, you know, hasn't been too bad.
It hasn't been too bad.
You know, and
we're exposing a lie here that we think needs to be
that's
exposed.
That's right. I think the church needs to know what the secular world's been going through, even if they don't see it, because we are born-again Christians, so we don't see as much of it or maybe even pay attention to it. And if it is there, we don't really understand it or we think it's just, you know, something, sickness. But another thing he says in Isaiah 48, he says that he will defer his anger for now, but his furnace of affliction will come.
You know, listeners, you can read about that in those six chapters in Isaiah 43, 48. They're very timely.
And yes, that would be a good idea. Very interesting reading.
Yeah, that's six chapters. Isaiah 43 through 48.
That's right.
That'll open your eyes.
But that's fitting, then, to realize why spiritual adultery is blaspheming the Holy Spirit and the only unpardonable sin. It's the worship, it's the worship, it's the worship. That's what it's all about. And that is why, when those in the tribulation period take the mark of the beast, they also agree to worship him, which is really Satan. So once one agrees to worship the Antichrist, it's all over. You've accepted the bad seed and are no longer redeemable.
And speaking of that seed, Genesis 3:15 says Satan has seed. And it means offspring. The Strong's reference number is 2233. The word is Zerah. And we covered that last week. And maybe speaking of last week, maybe we should highlight some of those things we touched on last week.
All right, let's do that, but I think if we're going to, then you need to reread Genesis 6:4.
I don't mind at all. Now, the Nephilim, the fallen ones, were on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore to them. They were heroes who existed from ancient, the word is Olam, time, ancient time, men of name.
Well, and that Olam actually can mean eternity. Okay, so they were here before even Adam. And we know that because they were there when creation was made, because he tells Job that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then last week we also explained why the sons of God could not be the sons of Seth.
Right. And to hear more about that, you don't need to go far. Just go back to shofarministries.net on the internet and go to our archives to hear last week's show.
That's right. Once again, Lucifer and his angels rebelled and came to earth because they want to be worshipped as gods. And thereby, to do that, they decided to have relations with human women so they could corrupt the human race, which would cause all the descendants of these angels to worship them as well. And they were worshipped.
And last Friday at Chester Christian Center, you showed up, or you showed many unretouched pictures of these skulls of the Nephilim behind glass at the Smithsonian Institute. And anyone can see them, except it's the Smithsonian Institute in Peru.
Yeah, I think the government wanted to make it a little harder for some reason. But yes, they've been found all over the place, different areas, different cities in Peru as well. All over the earth, and also skeletons of giants, some 30 feet in length. That's pretty tall. By the way, we want to thank you last week for joining us on Friday and coming some from afar.
Yeah, some come many, many miles to come out.
And that just shows me that you support the work of this ministry, and which is important because...
Well, the number one, our number one goal in this ministry is to get power from God's Word, and that will increase a real hunger for lost souls.
Yes. I try to show through fulfilled prophecy that we are in those last days, and there are increasingly more demonic influences all the time trying to steal our time, our thoughts, and our energy.
Oh, you know that's true. You know that's true. The phone lines are open right now for your end time question or comment on this subject matter. The number is 888-677-WORD. Hey, if you don't want to be on the air, that's okay. Just call in and give your question or comment to Derek, and he'll give it right to us. And another reminder, all those programs we talk about that we did before, they're all archived on shofarministries.net.
That's right. And last week, we established the fact that, yes, Lucifer and some of his angels, called the sons of God, were obviously given a free will. But they chose to rebel, came to earth, and cohabitated with women, producing the Nephilim.
The Nephilim were very large giants, and they were described as having, some of them, I guess, having six toes, six fingers, and double rows of teeth.
Yes, and then, as we've already mentioned, with deformed heads, and as I relayed last week, obviously not human, because they were missing important dividing lines in the skulls found.
And you're Shofar Ministries skull expert. We established that last week, too.
I've done a lot of x-rays of skulls, hundreds, and they've all had the dividing lines. Anyway, remember, archaeology proves time and time again that the Bible is truth. Genesis 6:4 did happen, and there is adequate evidence.
And why? Just why is that important for us to know?
Well, first of all, so that we'll get closer to Jesus.
Makes sense.
And help others find him by adequately answering the questions from the unsaved as to what is happening. You know, we're already seeing the foreshadows of almost everything that's going to happen during the tribulation, and this is no different.
Mm-hmm.
The next incursion of these fallen angels is talked about in Revelation 12. Remember, we have to go back to Scripture. And it tells us that this will happen. They will be thrown down to earth right now in the second heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they have access to heaven and earth, I imagine. But in Revelation 12, they will not be able to go up to the heavenlies anymore. They'll have to stay on earth, which is woe to the earth. We also know from the book of Daniel that there are fallen angels in the heavenlies that he called kings, plural, and princes of the power of the air, watching over nations, which is why he said the prince of Persia.
Oh, in the book of Daniel.
That's right. And he talked about other kings. It's interesting that he was referring to these fallen angels as kings and princesses.
Hmm.
And that kind of sometimes
Did you say princes? I'm sorry to interrupt. Did you say princes or princesses?
Princess. Princes.
Prince.
I didn't say princess.
It sounded like that.
I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting it, because I wouldn't want people to think that. No, they were absolutely male.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's interesting that he refers to them as kings, and you can read about that, too, and it's in Daniel 10. And sheds a little different light on, possibly when you read the scriptures, and when it says that there'll be 10 kings.
In Revelation.
Yeah, so, you know, you just wonder, well, it certainly sounds, maybe it's more demonic than we even know.
And Daniel, the book of Daniel was certainly written after the flood.
Oh, yes, it was. And so we know there were still fallen angels.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe there are still fallen angels today. Actually, in Noah's day, I believe, from my research, and you do not have to agree with this, this is, you know, just my determination, but in Noah's day, the ones that cohabited with women are chained in Tartarus. Okay, that's obvious. Peter talks about that. And they'll be there until the day of judgment, when they will be left out, according to Revelation 9. But not all who fell mingled with women. Okay, the ones that didn't mingle with women, I believe, stayed in the second heavens with Satan to do his bidding.
And in this country now, since 1947, they are showing up as UFOs and aliens, making the secular world think there's really life on other planets.
And you see, that's the problem.
That's the deception.
They're going to be deceived. And if it's not the church that's going to get out and tell them the truth of what to do when they don't make the rapture, and you have these aliens show up and say, we've been watching you, we actually created you, Jesus was just a servant from us, he's not really God, follow us, and we can make you like us. All you have to do is take this chip, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. You'll live forever.
And you'll live forever, and you'll be like us. Now, who's not going to do that if we haven't given them the truth?
That's right.
You know?
And you know what? You said this was the first day of Ramadan. Well, yesterday marked the 66th anniversary of the Roswell saucer incident in Roswell, New Mexico.
Well, how about that?
That's where the saucer crashed, and the Air Force came in and closed off the area and said it was a weather balloon.
Yeah, and I believe that's also the beginning of the last generation, because that was the year that Israel was told they could become a nation. You know, the proper things were signed, and then the following year they actually declared it.
So a lot of things, amazing
that in the beginning of the last generation, we start seeing these UFOs show up more than ever.
And the Book of Enoch was rediscovered in the Qumran where the little boy threw the...
That's right.
And that was in the same year.
Same year. Wow.
And just think, July 8th. And then 9 months later...
I'd say 1947 is pretty important, don't you think?
It is. And 9 months later from this date, Al Gore was born.
Okay, everyone, that was a joke.
Okay.
By the way, we have a caller on the line, I think. If not on the line, I know what her question is. Okay, she's on the line. Joan, what is your question? Good to have you. Did Joan hang up?
Anyway, my question is, are we in the tribulation now?
Ooh, good question.
Or does the tribulation start when they sign the peace treaty with Israel for the first 3.5 years, which may be false peace, and then the second 3.5 is when we would be caught up, and then the devil comes in and...
Okay. I've gotten this question many times before. First of all, no, we are not in the tribulation yet. I am absolutely a pre-tribulation rapture person. Unfortunately, there's more deception out there, and it's in the church even, that the bride of Christ, who was spared from the curse of judgment, is still going to be here for the curse of judgment. That is a lie. It's not going to happen. We're still here, so the tribulation has not started. When it does, when the rapture occurs, then within a few days, maybe 10, probably on a Yom Kippur, the Antichrist will sign the agreement with Israel and many other nations. It'll be like a world thing. And that will begin at that moment, that will begin the 7-year tribulation period. In the middle of the tribulation, though, the Antichrist gets more of his power from Satan, and really the worst part will be the last half. But the whole thing is the tribulation, And the Antichrist will bring in some false peace, and that's why there's going to be a lot of turmoil up until that time, because people are going to be begging for it. And and probably, though, these aliens are going to have something to do with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I will debate anyone that wants to talk about the rapture. If you know a pastor that maybe teaches that we're already in it, I'll be glad to sit down and talk to him. It's just no way. I've been hearing that since 1993 when they signed the Oslo agreements. It's not true.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Joan. Thank you. Where are you from?
I'm from Northfield, Ohio.
Oh, good. Glad to have you. Glad to hear you listening.
And I love how you love Israel, because I love Israel, too.
Well, if you're a born-again Christian, you just cannot help to love Israel. We're going to live there soon.
That's right, sister girl.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Joan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. And I just wanted to mention one more thing. Didn't you think it was interesting, the pictures that we had on Friday night of those paintings painted in the 1300s and 1400s, some of them?
Yes, that was. They were, and a lot of them were religious paintings. They showed one showed, I believe, the crucifixion. And in the sky, behind the scene of the crucifixion, were unmistakably, these were paintings of UFOs.
That's right.
And some even showed a person operating them.
That's right. Had an up-close one.
An up-close one, yeah. Very interesting to see that. And, of course, they interesting pictures like that have been found. Archaeologists have been finding these kind of pictures throughout all the ages of the Earth.
Yes.
Because they've been here for a long time.
Certainly. So
they're the spirits of the Nephilim, right?
Amen.
They
UFOs,
in the
they're all demonic.
They drowned in the flood?
That's right. The ones that drowned in the flood actually are disembodied spirits,
mm-hmm.
and they like to dwell mostly in unsafe people who have actually opened the door in some way.
Ooh.
If you are a born-again Christian and have Jesus in your heart, I won't be able to say this enough. You do not have to worry about the enemy or the demons coming and controlling you or anything like that. It's just not going to happen. Should at some point there are some that say that they've been approached, immediately use the name of Jesus and they will leave. Then if you have to help others because they're being attacked in some way,
mm-hmm.
you do the same thing. You use the name of Jesus, they have to leave, and then make sure that person receives Christ.
There you go.
How
do you open the door? How would one open the door in the first place? Say you're not saved, you don't know, and then how would you open the door?
Well, that's the thing. Most people have opened the door because it's so outwardly there. Astrology, occult, Ouija boards.
Oh, what about
mediums, fortune tellers?
What about the haunted houses you see on TV that they always go through, and they're listening and trying to contact these spirits and apparitions?
Yes, what they're actually calling them.
Are they opening the door?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Any of that stuff, it just opens up the door.
Apparitions, you know, and sometimes they'll actually catch one, but most of the time they don't.
I believe all the apparitions that people say were of Mary
mm-hmm.
are all demonic. They come as lights, and they join lights that look like a triangle. No, the other one. What's that triangle with the... Oh, I don't know the name of it. You know, I had a picture Friday night.
You did.
Okay.
And the points of it was actually two triangles.
4 points.
And 4 points, and the points outlined that looked very much like a statue of the Virgin,
exactly.
Virgin Mary.
So it's all deception. And it's interesting, too, that the only ones that heard it were these three young girls, and it was just in their mind. Now, that's a clue right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
Well, anyway, I can't say that enough. I've done the best I can with telling people that it is. Recently told my hygienist while she was cleaning my teeth after telling me that a recent apparition had occurred in Ohio.
Of Mary?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and then she sent me a picture, and I think I sent it to you, didn't I?
I think you did.
I did. And I told her, oh, that's demonic. And she was very offended, hardly talked to me the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, your hair will grow back.
It was my teeth.
Oh, your teeth. They'll grow back. You can get different teeth.
You know, but you know what? We can't just ignore this anymore. We have to tell people the truth.
That's true.
You know?
Absolutely.
And
especially when you're opening the door to demonic.
That's right. And I'll continue to talk with her mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. I don't want to.
And we'll continue to pray for her, too, as well.
That's right. But, yeah, I believe that the apparitions, most all of them are demonic. And we, the body of Christ, again, have our work cut out for us. But for the most part, Christians are asleep. And a lot of that is because they're not really affected. You know, being born again, you don't deal with that kind of
stuff
very much. Mm-hmm. And if you do, you're really not aware of it. Most of the time, you blame it on something else, you know, or your flesh or whatever. And when someone asks for our help, because one is maybe being tormented, maybe they even think they're a Christian, but it's in the mind only, which happens a lot. We end up sending them to someone else that can help them or to a deliverance ministry. But I want to say, you don't wait. These entities can be dealt with right then and there. Don't wait around.
Don't wait around. Something bad could happen while you're waiting, right?
That's right. And wouldn't you feel bad about that?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is a good...
And that's the thing. I'm trying to get the church to understand that they have the power to come against these things. And if you see a UFO, come against it, and it will leave. It will disappear right there.
It will.
And, it will.
And if you're a Christian and say, well, I've never seen a UFO, that's probably why. It's because you are a Christian.
That's right. A lot of it is delusion.
They will stay away from you.
That's right.
Because you are marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit for
that's
deliverance.
Right.
And we got to read Ephesians 6:12 real quick here, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, which the word is arche, which is 746.
It's referring to the origin.
Okay.
Like fallen angels.
Oh, okay. And against powers.
And that's actually the disembodied spirits that mess with your mind.
And against the rulers of darkness.
That would be Satan.
And of this world. Against spiritual wickedness.
And that's the actual wicked ways of any of them, what they actually can do to you.
Okay, and then in high places.
That's the heavenly realm.
Okay, so that's pretty clear.
That's right.
About who we are dealing with.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we need to recognize it. But you know what? We got to take a quick break you can tell people where they can send all their mini offerings.
Okay. Well, we'd love to. Shofar Ministries is a 501c3, and all your donations are tax deductible right now and really vital to this last day's ministry. If you are being blessed, please send us a love offering, and really any amount, okay? And a way to do this, just click on our website where it says partner with us, and on the right side of the screen, you'll see how to do that. Or you could just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, box 513 Burton, Ohio, 44021. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email address as well. And be sure to check out the webpage for our newsletters that are archived and previous radio shows archived. They're all there. And there's CDs and DVD teachings available for you. Now, the phone lines are open. Just want to remind you, the number is 888-677-WORD. And please stay with us. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. There's more to come. And what do you want to say?
I want to say that this next song is about a very humble man, and his name was Henry Slaughter, and he wrote many, many, many wonderful gospel songs. But when Bill Gaither wrote about him, he wrote a story about him and said how good he is, he actually said that Henry Slaughter said, well, I just wanted to play in the band, maybe write a few songs and sing in the choir. Well, when he said that, Gaither actually wrote a song about what he had said and stating that a Christian really doesn't have to be the head all the time, but a member of God's family who can lead others to him by being in the background. And that's what Henry Slaughter was. And so I hope you enjoy this song and get up and dance unto the Lord a little bit.
Okay, take it away, Derek.
I wrote a few songs that gave a few people hope. Every once in a while I started a fire. When they asked me up there, what did you do down there? I'll say it was my heartfelt desire to play in the band, write a few songs, and sing in the choir.
Oh, some think you gotta be the big dog and lead all the little dogs around. You gotta sing a solo, preach a great sermon, but be the biggest, hottest thing in town.
I guess I'm just a simple man with a simple desire to play.
band.
Write a few songs,
Lord, I want to sing in the choir. I sing in the band. I sing in the choir. I wrote a few songs that gave a few people hope. Every once in a while I started a fire. When they asked me up there, what did you do down there? I'll say it was my heart of desire to play in the band, write a few songs, sing in the choir. I played in the band, I sang in the choir.
With us and listening to that, and you're back on the Shofar Ministries Hour. And Sheila,
can you tell I just love country music, gospel?
I really like the spirit of that song, and it reminds me of me, sort of, because I started playing worship music for that reason. I figured, well, there's something I can do, and then here I am tonight.
Absolutely.
But,
that's by the Gator Team, and I just wanted to play in the band. Song about Henry Slaughter.
And you've been listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We're on the second half now, and it's going to be a short half. We've got a lot of stuff to cover.
It's real short.
It's a short half this time. And we left off talking about the Nephilim and the fallen angels, and we're going to pick it up.
Right. Actually, last week we started talking about these abductions, and it's not a real great subject that I like to talk about because, you know, sometimes it makes you sound real silly. So please understand and don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you that there are hundreds, if not thousands, I understand, through the years, that have been abducted. I mean, it's been written down. Writings have been found.
Oh, yeah. Been many people have written about this. There's archaeological evidence Whitley Strieber had a book called Communion that came out in the early 90s or late 80s, I don't remember, but it was about abduction by aliens that we know are fallen angels. We know that.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that. And it describes many of the people, many of the women who were abducted. And
they don't want money. They don't want notoriety. They don't even, they want to be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's...
It's just an awful, awful experience.
They just feel it should be known. So you could, you know, take this what you want, but I'm just, again, going to mention that there have been accounts of women claiming to have had some kind of sexual encounter with demonic spirits, demonic spirits. And sometimes they'll say, well, it was just a vivid dream, but unfortunately then they end up being pregnant. And if they didn't know a man, then that dream becomes reality. Sometimes a lot of people have the dreams and they don't hear about it, you know, again. But anyway, you know, it's happened. But here's really what it happens. Apparently they are taken up in a light and put on a table in a room. They can tell something is happening to the reproductive area and later realize that it seems as though the eggs had to be removed. They were fertilized and put back in the woman. Now, some admit, again, that they aren't positive, that it just wasn't a vivid dream. But when they become pregnant, then that changes the thing. But here's what happens. And in about 3 or 4 months, they are reabducted and the fetus is removed and then it's kept. And they're sent back, okay? Mm-hmm. But then they're reabducted again. They also have been implanted with some kind of small transmitter, and they're assuming that it's because they were being watched. Because a few months later, they're reabducted again, and this time encouraged to hold their baby and show it love. Okay, so now that's 3 abductions. Now, these are not Christian women, just so we get that straight. And in fact, there was a story that a woman, after the second abduction, okay, she actually saw a pastor. She got saved. And when they appeared to her again to take her to see the baby, obviously, she used the name of Jesus, and they departed immediately and has never been around her or approached her since. Now, this is amazing.
Well, it proves that they're demonic.
Absolutely. And it's the importance of his name and being Christian. And that's why I say, if you're not a Christian or if you think you are, but maybe you don't have a hunger for God's word, you might just have a head knowledge. Get down on your knees immediately and pray that Jesus enters you and you become born again Christian, because you need to be protected against this kind of stuff that's getting stronger and stronger.
And eventually is going to be such a big part of the history of Earth prior to Jesus' second return. We got this, of course, from the Old Testament, the sons of God, B'nai Elohim, that term never used for humans, and only direct creations like Adam. And these are the fallen angels.
That's right. I was going to talk a little bit about the alien implants and what they are, but they have been taken out by a Dr. Lear.
Mm-hmm.
He's done 13 of them, and he says they're very strong. You can't cut them with a regular knife or laser.
Mm-hmm.
And when he finally got them out, they're actually nanotransmitters containing meteoric iron.
Mm-hmm. That's iron that doesn't occur on the Earth naturally.
Saline crystals, carmen nanotubes, and biological tissue, which is a living organism.
Mm-hmm.
And they're growing from within the metal. Now, does that mean iron mixed with clay?
Well,
I don't know, and I'm not going to say right now, but it's Daniel 2:43. You'll notice that there's iron mixed in clay, and it will be mingled with the seed of men. You figure that one out, everybody.
Yeah, and it was about the kingdoms of the earth, the statue was, and I remember reading that. And, of course, the last part of the last kingdom is going to be the iron mixed with clay. And I think Daniel's a book about the last time, and that vision was given. It says so. The vision was given about the last times, and Daniel told the king that.
Again, so, my ministry is just to stir you up, to do your own homework, to study the Word, get closer to Jesus, and you can do that by studying His Word.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only way, actually.
Yeah.
You can pray, but it's studying His Word that's going to do it. We have a caller on the line, and we only have a few minutes. I think it's... from Megador. His name is Keith. Is that true?
Mogador.
Mogador.
Yeah, Mogador.
I'm so bad.
Oh, it's okay. Hey, I got, speaking of, you know, the parents of Mary, I got a good friend that he's in golf. So you familiar with Padre Pio? You know, supposedly he got the stigmas or stigmata.
I know what a stigmata is.
Yeah, and I confirm. I go, that's reserved for Christ alone. I go, that's at the devil. He got mad at me.
Oh yeah, they always do.
Yeah, we should explain that stigmata is the actual wounds of our Savior appearing on someone's
hand
and feet sometimes. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, how do you deal with somebody like that?
You just give them the truth in love. They've got to know that you care enough, that you love them enough to tell them the truth. That's the main thing.
Well, they think these people walk on holy. I mean, they're holier than them. Like, it's just.
I know. It's
the
good works thing.
Christ alone.
Yeah, it's a good works thing that gets involved in that. And all you can do is what you can do. But if you tell them about the rapture, even though they probably don't believe in it, if you tell them about the rapture and what's going to happen immediately when the rapture occurs or within a few days, here, you stay on the line while I tell you this, because I was going to read this anyway. It's the major deception is that these aliens from another planet are going to come down to save Mother Earth, okay? And this is what people are thinking. This is what the New Agers are teaching.
Okay.
And in 1977, a voice came out of nowhere over the airwaves in the United Kingdom. It was regular radio program, and this voice comes on the air. And here's what it said. It said, I am Vrilliant of Ashtar. That's a clue right there, Ashtar. Galactic Command Center. For many years, you have seen unusual lights in the sky, which we are seeing. We are watching and will help you get to the next stage. Peace is coming. All weapons of evil must be removed. You must learn to become sensitive to your inner voice. And then the regular airways began again. Now, here's the thing. This is exactly what's going on. So if you can tell people ahead of time at least what's going to happen, maybe they can get saved right away and spare themselves from all the agony that would be going on. Just give them the truth.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be here. I want to ask you real quick, too.
Because I believe in tribulation saints, Keith. I believe that there are going to be some that get saved right after the rapture because of the work that we're doing right now as the body of Christ. If you tell them what's going to happen, they're going to get on their knees. I know it. So get out there, and that's
not,
what you do.
Yeah. Well, they're not, you know, and it says you must be born again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's no doubt about it. Hey, real quick, are you familiar with Gary Hedrick from Messianic Perspective?
It sounds familiar, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I just wonder whatever happened to him. He used to be on the radio years and years ago, but just a phenomenal Messianic person, just phenomenal. Well,
I do remember the name, and you're right, he hasn't been on, but I'll do a little research. I have a few connections, and I will find out and tell everyone next week.
That's right up your alley.
Yeah.
All right, God bless.
God bless, Keith. Thanks for calling.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to close pretty soon here. I want one more thing to say. This is another thing for you to do for your homework out there, people. I want you to read 1 Corinthians 11:10, and it's the scripture that talks about how a woman's head should be covered. Now, besides Jude, Peter, Jesus, Paul also made an unusual comment that might have bearing on Genesis 6. Paul instructs that a woman should cover her head as a sign of subjection to her husband. But then he goes on and says, and also because of the angels. Now, this observation has intrigued me through the years, as I'm sure many of you. Why this sudden reference to angels? Could it be a reference to what maybe happened in Genesis 6, where angels sought out the unmarried? Obviously, Paul believed that an uncovered woman was a temptation even to angels. And there was a scholar named William Barclay. He mentions an old rabbinic tradition which alleges that it was the beauty of the woman's long hair that attracted and tempted the angels in Genesis 6.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I just thought that was interesting. It just kind of opens it up. And again, you research it yourself.
How many times we've read the verse? I've read the verse and just said, well, okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Because of the angels, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really neat because that's what you get when you study the Bible.
That's right.
Is you get connections like that.
And we're going to have to close, and I don't know for sure what we're going to do. I'm going to leave it up to the Spirit of the Lord, but I think I'd like to talk a little bit about this DNA experiments that are going on and a little bit about that. So we'll see. Pray for this ministry. I do covet your prayers with researching this kind of material.
I need protection. Every Tuesday night.
That's right. We'll be here.
We're here. 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Is Jesus Lord over your whole life, or do you just have the head knowledge of him like you heard earlier in the show and not really the heart conviction? It's easy. Just get on your knees right now and repent. And that means just agree with him that you do sin and tell him that you do and that you admit it. And you know what? If you ask Jesus to come into your life and into your heart, he will. You may have a very cool experience, or it may just come creeping in, but you will soon come to realize that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and your only hope in this life, actually. You can commit your life to Jesus at that time or commit your life to Yeshua. Now, it's your choice. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes. Your soul never dies. And we get to decide where we spend eternity, and we have to go either two places, one or the other. You know, either we're going to be with God or we're going to be with the other guy, and we don't want to be with the other guy.
No.
So you decide. And then what?
And then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples. Tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his sheep. For he is the Great Shepherd. Serve him.
Serve him. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
Oh, you do that so well in Hebrew, and that's number 622 through 27, the Aaronic blessing. And I'm going to say it in English. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace or shalom. Remember, we'll be here next Tuesday. And till then, shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe.
That's not maybe. And you can read that in Psalm 122, verse 6. Join us next week. Till then.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.